Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Beautiful track there, Birds on the Sea, Pearline Lug. Welcome to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this daily country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up, strong new mob. We're going to jump straight in it. We got the beautiful Fern and Newcomb from Murrah Law, and a very good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning to you too, Trev. I'm very well, thank you.
Good to see you. Now, thank you for coming. Our topic today, coronavirus and the economy. So that's a broad heading, Fern. Can you let us know why we are covering this topic today?
Yeah, well, we had some potential good news nationwide. States and border control starting to loosen in others. Now, as has been the absolute norm with this total write-off of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 2020.
Yeah. The good news often arrives with a big fat but attached to it.
And the but in this case is?
But the economy.
Yes.
So from the beginning of this outbreak, most commentators, government departments, spokespersons, members of the public, everyone, et cetera, have been calling coronavirus a health and economic crisis. All we have to do to see the truth in this statement is look at the raft of economic grants, increases in payments, new payments, loans, moratoriums, and economic exceptions that have basically kept this country up and running, but not necessarily thriving since March.
And you said health and finance and, of course, loss of lives, you know, and people getting ill because of the virus. So if we're looking at a tentative recovery from the health crisis, are we looking at a tentative economy recovery as well?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, okay. Trev. Mm-hmm. The first round of JobKeeper ended on the 28th of September, with the second round being at a reduced rate of payment, and the job seeker payment reduced as well. Mm-hmm. So it's something we have to focus on as a priority for sure. The federal government is due to release its budget on October 6th, so next Tuesday, which has been tipped to include huge amounts of governmental spending in a bid to speed up the economic bounce back.
So do we know much else about the budget?
So, the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, painted a picture of the Australian economy that most people wouldn't hesitate to call grim. Mm-hmm. Come the middle of 2021, Australia's real economy, so what it actually is, will be about 6% smaller than initially forecast, than the government's initial forecast in the December budget update. So the after effects of COVID will hit the big three economic drivers: population, productivity, and participation. He also had dark news on wages, saying wage growth is, quote, likely to remain subdued for at least the next few years, end quote.
Meaning no pay rise.
Yeah, so not great if you're in an industry that has already had subdued wage growth, which is a lot of them.
Mm.
So the debate around this nation's migration numbers being too high, which was hot topic not so long ago, is completely irrelevant at this point because migration numbers have dropped to basically inconsequential levels.
Mm.
And when there's no population increase through migration, it actually hinders one of those drivers, the population driver. So it hinders our reversion to prosperity.
So what are the folks who are running things doing about this?
Yeah, well, there has been Scott Morrison to reinstate his bully pulpit, a phrase coined by US President Teddy Roosevelt. His bully pulpit political tactics, which he used throughout the pandemic to inspire confidence in our recovery from it. So he used it throughout the pandemic, but now they want him to use it to inspire our confidence in the recovery. So the formation of the National Cabinet and a population glued to the daily news conferences and announcements during the pandemic allowed the ministers and premiers of this country to mould the tone of public sentiment and drive action or inaction, as the case may be, like never before.
So you mentioned confidence before, Fern. Now, that's very important for the economy recovery, yes?
Yeah, you're totally right, Trev. Confidence in business, confidence for consumers and confidence within the community, they're all vital for a successful economic recovery. Now, as you know, and as we all know, the problem with confidence is that it's not something we can see or taste or touch, but we know when it's there and we know when it ain't.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, definitely. So fingers crossed the PM can use his political style to promote recovery as well as he used it to preach the restrictions.
All right, so for business people or just the general public out there, for more information, who can they go to, Sister?
Yep, so we drew inspiration for this segment from Michelle Grattan article online at theconversation.com. And as mentioned, the budget will be released on Tuesday the 6th of October, so you can set your alarms to take part in all that fun. And as always, you can call us if you need some commercial or native title advice. You can also get more information from your local law society, which in Queensland is the Queensland Law Society, and their number is 1300 367 757. Other states have corresponding law societies, of course.
Fantastic. And who's Murra Law?
Murra Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law. We're purpose-led, and you can check us out and get all our contact details at murrawalaw.com.au.
Too deadly. Fern, thank you so very much. Big shout-out to your beautiful team, and thanks for joining us here. And we'll be yarning soon, my sister.
Will do. Thanks for having me, Trev.
All right, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Fern Newcomb, her name is. She's with Murra Law, solicitor there, and one of the deadly team there over at Murra Law, First Nation lawyers operating in the space of the legalities of life and working with our mob. Fantastic. So check them out, your mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, you can text the brothers, 045-714-0550. And the brothers are Baldy One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Check out our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM, and you can see all our podcasts, all our daily photos, and all our yarns that way. All right, stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM, 1-800-422-416. I love you, little. Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trevin, and Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Okay, look, fantastic news. National Action Plan represents Australia's first opportunity to achieve zero lives lost to blood cancer by 2035. We're going to catch up, have a yarn there with Tim Murphy, Manager of Blood Cancer Partnership. Tim, very good morning. How are you?
G'day, Trev. I'm really well, thank you, and welcome. And I'm here in Wiradjuri land in Melbourne saying hello to you.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, my brother. And look, thumbs up. Fantastic news. National Action Plan represents Australia's first opportunity to achieve zero lives lost to blood cancer by 2035. The first of its kind to come to the table. You've got to be pretty excited about that, my friend.
You're absolutely right. We have done a huge amount of work with consultation right across the country with all the leading experts to bring the first ever consensus to make change for how people live with blood cancer. And importantly, we have taken a really conscious effort to close the gap in Indigenous health.
Yes.
And there's absolute recommendations. I'm very, very excited, particularly about these, that we can get them in play and get them implemented now.
Look, a long time waiting, and we don't want to be going back on that in regarding the time spent in getting this all happening. But the fact that it's here, we should get excited about that. And then moving forward and, achieving zero lives lost to blood cancer, yes?
That's the audacious plan here, Trev. And the fact that we have brought together Indigenous stakeholders, the Commonwealth, the leading hematologists and blood cancer experts, patient voices into one group, the Blood Cancer Task Force, which then created this plan, which Minister Hunt graciously announced and released last Sunday, the 27th of September, means we've got all the planning done. Now it's about getting the work done to save lives, and we get to that goal of no Australian dying.
So a big task ahead, but we've got the task force to make it happen. Where do you go from here, Tim? What is the process, so to speak?
So we, for the plan itself, we have the task force will continue to operate, and the Commonwealth has given us some money as the Leukemia Foundation to continue that. Our work now is to really map out the implementation steps. The plan has over 21 different recommendations with a whole raft of sub-recommendations. And our work now is to start prioritising what should be done today, what should be done next year and the year after, so this vision to 2035 can really now be implemented.
And like I said, the money's on the table now, thanks to the government. It is the tool for you guys to do your work and get rid of the blood cancer and zero lives lost, yes?
That's right. We've done step one, which is get some money. We don't have all the money yet, but we've got some money to start on what we're calling creation of national standards. Because ironically, there isn't a national standard around how to treat someone with the blood cancer. When we talked last time, I think we talked about there being a whole range of different blood cancers. What we're now saying in this plan is let's get consistency of how you deal with the particular type of cancer, and then make sure that that is done right across the country in the same way. And that's our first step.
The next step is making sure
that different population groups, and particularly Indigenous population groups, are included in the delivery of these programs in a culturally appropriate and sensitive manner.
Exactly. So First Nation health organisations are at the table?
Absolutely.
And they need to be, yes.
They've been in the design of this to date, so we proactively went out to the Menzies, we proactively went out to the National Aboriginal Community Control Organisation, we've been out to the Indigenous Health Division of the Australian Government. All of those groups helped us design the National Action Plan, and we will continue to work with them to implement. So the body of work now is to make it happen in community.
No, that's fantastic. So light at the end of the tunnel, you could say, Tim.
It really is. And, you know, the work that I get excited by is not having done the plan, Trev, but now getting ready to implement the plan, because that means that our thinking hits the ground and saves lives, and that's what I want to do in my life.
Yeah. Well, we don't plan to fail. We just fail to plan. The plan is in set. So now we move forward with the vehicle we got in regard to the money and the team, the task force, and we can make it happen, yes?
That is exactly my desire, and yeah. I hope I can keep talking with you over the years
of
as
course.
We implement these recommendations and see changes in life in communities right across the country, remote and regional communities.
Well, we as First Nation people, we get excited about news like this because we are talking about still in the 21st century is closing the gaps in all facets. And here we are, life expectancy for First Nation people. And when you're talking about blood cancer, that's another yucky disease that's killing our people.
And you're absolutely right. And this is the travesty that we have to fix. We have, First Nations people have a higher degree of cancer deaths and proportionally than other parts of the country. I want to change that, and yes. that Blood Cancer Task Force wants to change that. And that's why these recommendations are really designed to make yes. that happen.
And look, it says blood cancer zero lives lost by 2035. Love to bring that number down. Early the better, but beginning's half done, my friend.
It is half done, and now the partnership with the community to make this happen is where we're going next, and I'm really, really excited about that. The vision of evidence has been brought to bear, and
yes.
we can now go and do the work.
Beautiful, Tim. Look, we're going to be communicating all throughout the process. Thank you very much for coming to the table, my friend. All the best to your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, my friend, eh?
Thanks. Good to speak to you. See you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye, Tim.
Bye-bye.
A deadly yarn there, and he's the manager of Blood Cancer Partnership, Tim Murphy, and fantastic news, National Action Plan, Australia's first opportunity to achieve zero lives lost, and a fantastic space to be working in to help our mob, First Nation people, and closing that gap. So that's what it's all about. Have your say and yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarning with the Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Ready to have a yarn, your mob? Give us a call.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Strap on.
You might find me on the back roads of the Kimberley. You might see me making campfires by the creek. Well, don't you worry. This is the land where I was born. Now the days are over when the old folks used to roam across the old river another side, where they sang their tribal songs and danced through the night until I still wonder how the people lived along this land. From the ranges and gorges across desert plains to the ocean where the rivers run wild. You might find me on the back roads of the Kimberley. You might see me making campfires by the creek. Well, don't you worry if I'm walking alone, I'll be home in a week. Yeah, this is the land where I was.
this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yeah, too deadly, Guy Sebastian. It is National Talk Black. Have your say. Yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it. BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So give the Murray call. Let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550. But we say don't act. You're not shy. Get the Murray call. Let's have a yarn. Or our Facebook page as well, all your keyboard warriors, BBM 987 FM. And you can see all our photos, all our podcasts, and all our deadly yarns. All right, we're going to jump in and have a deadly yarn conversation with Senator Nita Green from Australian Labor Party. And she brought a bodyguard with her. I'm talking about Brother Aaron Faso, who's the Indigenous Liaison Officer. And a very good morning to both of you. How are you guys?
Good, Trevor. Thank you so much for
having
me.
Great to be here, Bala.
Yeah, yep. Good to see you, my Bala, and good to see you, Anita. Thank you very much, Senator, for coming to the program. We'll start with Brother Man. Who your mob? Where you from?
Well, my mob from Sabai Island, the Samoan and Kudal clans, via Sasi and Bumaga on the Northern Peninsula area. So big shout out to the Torres Strait region and the Northern Peninsula area.
All right, beautiful footprint up that way. Thank you, brother, for coming to the program. Over to you, Anita Green, Senator, Australian Labor Party. Thank you very much for coming. We've had plenty of yarns here, but our topic today, upcoming federal budget and the social housing, which is a problem.
It is a big problem, and this federal budget that will be handed down next week needs to address this issue around social housing in regional areas, and particularly Indigenous housing in our remote communities. I've been here many times before, Trevor, and talked to you about this for a long time. Everybody knows that it's a problem, but no one's willing to come up with the solution, and we want to see that solution in the federal budget next week.
And I think it was well exposed when you look at COVID-19, the pandemic here upon us. Social housing, you know, social distance, how can you do that when you're like 15, 16 people living in one house?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of stories that we've got of communities having to be completely locked down because the risk of getting a COVID outbreak in our communities meant that it would have been catastrophic. And the reason is because people don't have enough housing. There's lots of people living close together. There's chronic health issues that stem from that housing. So we really need to learn from these challenges. COVID-19 needs to be an opportunity for us to talk about these issues, but to set it right. The federal government made a promise before the last election of $105 million for Indigenous communities in the Cape and the Torres Strait. They've only delivered 4.7% of that funding. They've got a job to do. They need
was
to
that
deliver
before
that.
COVID-19?
Before COVID-19. Yeah. They've got a job to do to deliver that funding. And as a senator in the opposition, it has been my job to continually remind them that they need to do something to fix this.
Well, don't talk forked tongue is what we say, you know what I mean? Don't offer it and promise it and then, look at COVID-19 as the excuse, so to speak.
Yeah, and look, that's something that we've seen a lot from this government. They make a lot of announcements. They have lots of press release, shiny press releases. But then when it comes to delivering the funding on the ground, that's a whole nother story. And what we've found is that, yes, COVID-19 has put some roadblocks in place, but now we need local jobs on the ground. Because don't forget, funding social housing, and it's what Labor did after the GFC. That's what we did to get jobs created. This isn't just about providing a safe home for people, which is fundamental, but it's about providing, tradies some jobs, businesses jobs, creating apprenticeships for Indigenous people on the ground so they can learn how to do this long term. There's lots of really good outcomes that come from this, but we've found that we just keep coming up against a government that is unwilling to understand how important this is for our communities. We're not being heard up here.
Exactly. And this is the month of acknowledging Indigenous people in business. So there's business opportunities as well for people in communities as carpenters or bricklayers or whatever the case may be. There's a great opportunity.
I just came from a meeting with councillors from Badu Island in the Torres Strait, and they're really interested in creating more small businesses, Indigenous enterprise. They don't want to always be relying on having a public service position or job or grants funding from the government.
Exactly.
A lot of people want to make their own jobs, their own lives, and be the master of their own destiny. And the best way to do that is to have local businesses, and social housing is one way that we could do that.
And that's empowerment for the individuals and creating workplace employment for family and friends, you know, in the community. And then money stops there too. That's the other thing, because you have workers coming in or companies coming in, do the job and walk away with the money, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, and look, I think we need to make sure that this is something that's top of the agenda for the federal government. They're going to be making some really big decisions over the next couple of weeks about how we get out of the economic recession that we're in. And my fear is that if we are not very loud and vocal about how important social housing is, is that we will see the gap widen between our Indigenous communities and our communities that are in the city. We know that the gap, closing the gap, isn't working, and that the gaps are actually getting bigger. If you want to close
all areas,
If you want to close gaps in housing and healthcare, this is the time to do it.
Exactly. Fantastic. Bring Aaron into the conversation, my brother. I was mentioned there before regarding giving us a call here on National Talk Black, having to the conversation. We say don't act. You are an actor, my brother, but you're not acting in this role. Tell us the role that you're playing here with the Australian Labor Party and working with Senator Anita Green.
Yeah, look, I think when COVID first arrived on our doorsteps, I think Senator Green reached out and was looking for I guess, better communication or better insight in relation to our biosecurity communities. Mm. And I guess that's those communities through the Cape and Torres are communities that are well and truly close to my heart because of my kinship connections and strong relationships through the Cape and Torres region. So therefore, it was, you know, I wanted to, you know, be that conduit, so to speak, to be able to give the senators certainly a better insight in the communication, what was actually occurring on the ground. But furthermore, I think it was also an opportunity to actually, you know, have someone on the other end of the phone line or on the other end of the Zoom line that they knew and they were able to communicate directly, but also have that that strong relationship.
Sure.
So that communication was known that it was a trusted communication line.
Well, we've always said nothing beats black on black. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And when you see Bala there, you can make that yarn and that strong yarn and that trust in the conversation.
Absolutely. And it's something that, you know, those relationships always also come with great responsibility as well.
Yes.
So it's something that I'm also mindful of as well. But I think during this time it was of... I mean, in any normal situation, I would have been quite cautious about entering into this political arena. But I think given the fact that, you know, of our chronic illnesses that are quite prevalent throughout the Cape, that if the pandemic were to, I guess, go through the community transmissions throughout the Cape and Torres, I mean, given that... Our housing, we're talking about the issue of housing. We've got, you know, overcrowding of housing. How do we social distance ourselves with the lack of housing? Because we've got 30 to 40 people living in 2 to 3 bedroom houses. And also our current situation with our health center community centers only have, you know, 1, maybe 2 beds. You know.
Look, and when COVID-19 came to the table, yeah, hats off to our mayors in the community, did a fantastic job. And we're talking about isolation, we're talking about overcrowded houses. We were hearing that some of the elders, vulnerable people, were sent out on outer stations to get away from the communities to keep them safe because, like I said, you couldn't isolate and we need to protect our elders. And so that sort of thing is happening in the 21st century.
But what isn't that one of the lessons we've learnt as well from COVID-19 is that it really came down to local decisions making, and the mayors and the local disaster management committees were able to make those local decisions. They were empowered by the Queensland state government to make local decisions on the ground about who could come in and who could go out, and it worked because you give local people the ability to make their own decisions about their own community, and you have a success on the ground. And that's what we need to do more of, is empower local leaders to be be able to make these decisions for themselves in the future, whether it's housing or healthcare. That model worked during COVID-19, and we need to do more of it.
Exactly. Well, we've got the solution to our problems. You know, we just need to be holding the reins. You know, not a so-called hand out, but a hand up. You know, what's the old phrase? Catch a fish, feed a man, feed him for a day. Mm. Teach him how to fish, feed him for a lifetime. And we as black people, my brother, you would agree with that, you know? We've got the power within ourselves.
Absolutely. And we've come to a point now, we've seen that, you know, annually we get the Closing the Gap report. We've seen that there hasn't been any movement in that in relation to that particular gap.
Exactly.
I think it's about time now that it's for us and by us.
Yes, exactly.
Is where the solutions are.
Exactly, you know. And we need to have that, we've got that vision, but take our mob to the so-called promised land, you know what I mean, to close that gap. And it sounds like a broken record, doesn't it, Senator?
Well, it does, but I think we're in a moment right now. We've had the Black Lives Matter movement. We had a really good march here in Cairns. I know there were some really wonderful speakers. And we're in a moment where we're finding people talking more about the voice to Parliament and the Uluru Statement. And why are these health outcomes not getting any better? There's a new young generation that is using social media really well to communicate. There's people on TV. There's, Indigenous actors and celebrities and people who are producing their own stories and telling stories about communities. The next step, I think, is to make those stories, tell those stories about why it's so important to vote, why it's so important to be engaged politically, why you can't just check out and say that it doesn't matter to you or it won't affect you. Mm. And that's something that only the community can do. We, as a politician, I certainly am a supportive of our Indigenous community and their campaigns, but I understand implicitly that is a conversation that you need to have with each other, and it's why it's so important that we support people that want to do that going forward.
Exactly. And like I said, we are in the 21st century. It's time for change. Change is inevitable. Change is the engine of growth, and we need to adapt to the changes, you know. So it's highlighted, COVID-19 has highlighted that, you know. And it's sad that it takes a pandemic to open up government's eyes. Hello, you know.
Yeah. But there's also highlighted some opportunities, right? There's a lot of things that are now happening online. There was lots of communication that was happening via Zoom. We're getting telehealth appointments through improving the way that people are accessing healthcare. But we're also able to use social media in a better way. People becoming a little bit more tech savvy. I'm honestly not the best person. I'm still learning myself, but I know, hey, you know what, though? The kids out there, they're all on social media. They're all talking to each other on social media. That is how we need to start the conversation to talk about where we go from here, whether it's campaigning on an issue, whether it's getting people more engaged, or whether it's talking about mental health. There's a new generation out there that is ready to be engaged, but we can't talk to them, you know, through the newspapers, ways.
No, that's right. That's right. Use the tools that are available.
Yeah, exactly.
So we need to, we're all students for life, aren't we? So we need to get educated.
Yeah.
A 16-year-old boy, you can educate me, but clean your room first. That's hard, you know? That's right, you know. So look, a very important conversation. Thank you very much for coming into to the program, Senator. And Aaron, my brother, thank you for coming. Great to see the hat that you're wearing in this arena and helping our mob and communicating. With the actor's hat on, how's that happening and what's happening there? How are you rolling?
Well, I think, Queensland's obviously open for business at the moment, and what I guess COVID is, although it's been a pandemic and it's, you know, hamstrung the global economy, however, it's presented opportunities whereby it's opened up business for Queensland here due to how well we've managed the COVID situation. So we've got international productions now being earmarked to be greenlit here. So a lot of the situation that's blown out in the US, a lot of big US productions are now moving their productions to our shores.
Good.
So
opportunities.
I think we've got opportunities at least for the next 3 or 4 years, I believe, that are lining up and ready to have the green light pressed.
There you go. So if they're working in a political arena or in radio, You not can go to acting, Senator.
I don't think the movies are for me, and I can't see myself appearing on black comedy anytime soon. But I'll stick to the politics, but I certainly am going to be advocating for us to be funding more local stories through content quotas. That is something that was halted during COVID-19, and we need to make sure that if we are funding for stories to be told on the ABC, NITV, SBS, that we're telling local stories.
And real stories.
Real stories, real local people. Stories about our culture and about the things that need to change and telling stories that mean that young people understand where we've come from.
Exactly.
And the one thing that is I've also, I guess, that dawned upon me in through this my time here working with the Senator is that all of this, you know, all of this correlates way back to enrolling to vote. If we want to be part of the decision making process, we want to make a difference. We want to make a change. Mm. We want to be part of these decision making discussions. And if we're talking about voice treaty truth, we need to engage. Our forefathers engaged in 67 with the referendum.
It worked.
Therefore, right. We've got a line there to directly engage and be part of the change.
Well, that bull out there driving in the car, or that sister sitting at home there listening for that one vote, what does that mean? Well, that one vote could get the right person in.
And it's about a collective movement. You know? It's about our people voting, especially, you know, for the right government, or the right people, or the people that appeal to them, and having that decision to make those choices. We do have that, and we just need to engage.
Yep, beautiful. So vote your mob and enrol. The applications are there. You can go online or go to your health organisation. They can help you out, just direct you. I know at Wu Choppin, they got the law section there with Danella Mills. She can help you out regarding getting your vote application in.
Great sister.
Yeah, beautiful sister. And that can happen as well, you know. So make
your
vote.
It's really easy, and it doesn't... if you haven't voted before, it doesn't mean that you will get fined if you haven't voted before. Just if you get enrolled this time, it'll take 5 minutes to vote on election day.
A short
amount of time to have a say, and maybe one vote yes is easy for a politician to ignore.
Yes.
But if you enroll lots and lots of people and we're all moving in the same direction, then your voice becomes a lot louder.
Yes. Senator, thank you very much. Mabala, good to see you as always.
Yes,
one love, eh? All right, too deadly. A beautiful yarn there with Senator Anita Green, Australian Labor Party, and Bala Aaron Faso, who's doing some work there in the political arena, a liaison officer, and working with our mob. Fantastic. Black on black, too deadly. Have your say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the ball you on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, steering your ship into the future, 12 noon. We've got the news coming up with the NIRS, National Digital Radio Service. Until that time, give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
I was working hard in the mustering yard, and the sun had scorched my head. The boss said, "Mate, you're not looking so great. Better spend the night in bed." So I staggered back to my little tin shack like a dehydrated pup. Then I closed my eyes, and to my surprise, there was a square dead starting up. Then the neighbors came, it was still the same. They were starting to spring and sway. While the sets were glowing and the moon was growing, I was calling the night away. So look out, pop, while we fan the top, we're starting up an 8-chain 4. Yes, we've got it made when you promenade with the best set on the floor. Then the kangaroo danced a curly cue, and the frog leapt high in the air. And the little corral said, "Excuse me, fella, would you like to start another square?" So the old King Brown put his best foot down, and the wedge tail grabbed his feet. Then the dingo too did a spinach and threw at the square dance at...
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, young entrepreneurs to address major food inequity. I'm going to chat and have a yarn with Jessica Wishard, who's in business with her brother Jordan Wishard and a friend of the family, Tommy Hicks. And they've started a business in regarding, we'll name the company, Kura to Country. And that's launching this month to address the major food inequalities faced by Aboriginal communities in Central Australia. On the line, Jessica, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm great today.
Right. Thank you for very much for coming to the program. Before we start, my sister, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so my name's Jessica Wishart. I'm Bidjara, First Nations from Queensland, Ulkasela, Charles, the area is where my mob come from, but living back on Arrernte country here in Imbantua.
Fantastic. So you're in business with your brother Jordan Wishart, and also Tommy Hicks. Akura to Country, is that the name of their business?
Yeah, Kura to Country, yep.
So and Kura, spelled K-E-R-E, where's that name come from and what's the meaning of it?
So Kura is an Arrernte word, and it means food from animals, so meat from animals. And, so we operate out of Arrernte Country, and my children are Central Arrernte, so, it was a fitting name for the company.
Represent, fantastic. So tell us how this all came about in regard to helping our mob on country and the health problems for our mob.
Yeah, so basically, look, we grew up in the Territory, and Territorians have known about the prices that Aboriginal people face in communities for a long time.
Yes, remote, yes.
In remote communities, and even though there's been, many inquiries and many strategies and things put in place to help that, it's still very, very expensive. The idea of the company came about during COVID. So when COVID pandemic hit Alice Springs, we were here for Sorry Business. And, we wanted to make sure all our family had meat and food and products available to them, because the communities were actually going into lockdown. So we wanted to make sure they had everything before they had to go back. Now, that cost us a fortune, and we were all working people, and it was costing us too much money. So we started stressing about how our family and how our community members that were already living on the remote communities were supposed to pay for their supplies.
Yes.
And what we found was that they just weren't paying for them, and they were just going without. They just had to miss out. If they couldn't afford it, or if they couldn't all chuck in to get it, or if the supplies weren't there, they literally went without. And we're talking some families went days without any food.
So how did it come about? How do you bring down the cost then in regarding delivering quality food, meat in this instance, to our mob?
Yeah, so basically when we went into business with a friend of ours who's a farmer, and we started the company as a call of action, and we wanted like-minded Australians to come on board and support us with our idea to help, have a solution for our own mob. So we've had a lot of people just partner up with us and say, you know what, we want to be a part of this. How can we help? What have we got available that we can contribute? Which is being able to bring the cost down. And also we are freighting the meat ourselves. So a lot of the costs of food come from freighting and shop operations. So we're not dealing with any other freighting companies. We're driving it out to the community ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And also this is to your door, so you're not having to pay any other taxes or anything else on top of it. When it goes to a store, because you're dealing directly with the supply chain. So it goes from the abattoir to Kura to Country, Kura to Country to your door.
Fantastic.
So it's got a lot of cost.
Well, they say in businesses, finding the wants and needs for the people, fulfill that want and need, you've got a business, and that's exactly what you've done. So as an Aboriginal-run and led organisation, who else is on board in regarding the partnership to make this happen?
Yeah, so we are in the partnerships with Bullies Meat, Robin Varell and her husband Chris.
Good.
They're second or third generation farmers. Robin and I have been really good friends since 2017. We met through a leadership program, governance leadership program. And she, when we come up with this idea, we went to her because she can ship her meat. She supplies meat to South Australia, Victoria. She also supplies meat to China.
Okay.
How the hell are you getting meat to China?
China, you can't even get it to our mob out there in remote communities, yes.
And that's when she said, no, we can do that.
Yes.
You can get it to the communities, I can get it to you, and that's how it happened.
Good, fantastic. So how long have you been in business for?
So we literally, this idea came up during COVID this year. So we fast-tracked, we have been on Business Express, and we will be operating in January.
Okay, now you said you're based in Adelaide, is that correct?
I've been living in Adelaide, but we just come back up to Alice Springs,
So you moved to Alice Springs to run the business, which makes it affordable regarding getting meat from Alice Springs to the communities, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. The business is established in Alice Springs, yeah.
Great concept. Fantastic. And nothing beats black on black, my sister, when you're working with our mob. And like I said, saw an opportunity. It saves them money, gets meat to their front doorstep, and create a business opportunity for yourself. So when you're saying your brother's on board and a very good friend, Tommy, well, who's in charge? Who rules the roost there, sister?
Yeah, that's me right here. You're talking to it.
That's right. So, Jordan, awesome. Tommy, stay back. Just deliver the meat. I'll run this part of it.
Yes, that's right. No.
Fantastic.
That's really well, actually.
Look, it is great, you know, because we have the same problem here in Cairns, far north Queensland, to all our mob up there in the Cape, especially in the Torres Strait Islands, when food is delivered, the shipping and the costing and the extras to get it all up there, then the price goes sky high and it's very expensive. So this could be opening up doors across the nation, my sister.
Yeah, definitely. And look, that's exactly what we're looking at. Hopefully, in a few years, once we're really set in stone in Central Australia, we definitely want to expand. We want to come across the top end of Queensland and go across the WA and even surface down in our APY lands as well. We want to reach far and wide.
Fantastic. So, do you have a web page up and running?
Definitely. So, www.kuru2country.com.au, and you can find us on Facebook or check out our Instagram page.
Very excellent. That's Kuru spelled K-E-R-E.
Yep.
Fantastic. Look, it's a beautiful concept, and congratulations. All the best to you. Make it happen. And it's about creating the dream, isn't it?
That's right. Thank you so much.
Jessica, nice talking with you. All the best to you, Jordan and Tommy. And please do keep in touch, sis.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there with Jessica Wishart, her name is. She's in business with her brother. That's Jordan Wishart, and a very good friend of the family, Tommy Hicks. All First Nation people, and they came up with the business opportunity, enterprise, Kura to Country, spelled K-E-R-E. So check it out, your mob. It launches this month, and to address the major food inequalities faced by Aboriginal communities in Central Australia. So they saw an opportunity to look after mob there, and talking with a farmer, got our own abattoir regarding meat and delivering meat to China. Why not deliver to First Nation communities? And a business was born. So fantastic. Entrepreneurs right there. And you can check them out on Facebook page, Kura to Country, K-E-R-E. Also check out their web page as well. To Deadly Mob, have you saying yarn up strong? Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from McCurry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Then give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
Let's change. Together, baby, let's give it a whirl.
too beautiful. Let's change the world. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, Murray going to sign off for you, Mobba. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again next week, 11 a.m, 12 noon Queensland time. Great sharing with you, Mob, here on National Talk Black, voice for our people. Look, let's take care out there. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are in a pandemic, you Mob. Too deadly.